Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, happy week after Easter. Can we celebrate? Easter gets a lot of attention, but the week after, not as much. Yeah, well, we're glad that you're here. We had an incredible 3 days last week. We had a lot of fun. We had over 1,000 people volunteer. Can we celebrate that over Easter weekend? We also had 101 people make a decision either in this room or marking on their Next Step card that they surrendered their life to Christ. So, yeah, very awesome. We gave some awards to the staff. There was a lot of people serving. We gave an award to facilities. It was garbage award. So we said thank you so much for doing all that. Another award, I got one. It was called the 5-Hour Energy Award because I guess I talked for 5 hours. Yay, that's not hard. I do it every day. And then we had 65 songs by the worship team. They did 50 in service and then 15 practicing. And so let's say thank you to what they poured out. And we did an Our Kids Award. It was called Double or Nothing because they didn't do nothing on Friday night because we had a family service. But then they doubled it up on Saturday and on Sunday. It's also what we call a holy hangover. And so some of you are looking at my shirt and you're like, Keith, you did it again. Because I've done this before. As I'm not hungover. Let me be clear. Okay? This is part of the message. Because God is a God of order. Okay? He's a God of order. And so, I mean, there's a purpose, there's a plan, he has a design. So, who saw my shirt and were like, dude, are you ever gonna fix it? Okay, who didn't see it? See, you guys are oblivious. I mean, you were focused on Jesus. And so others of you, you were just like literally like, I need to go to a different church. This guy is a mess. And this is my cowboy shirt this year for sure. Okay? I've been wearing it for 29 years. Same shirt. But it's going to happen. It's happening. So many people at the first service thought, literally, because I said holy hangover, they're like, oh my goodness, your shirt was messed up. You really were hung. I'm like, no, I'm not. So let me explain, okay? There's a process. So you have Easter, how incredible it is. The process is this. What is our next step? The process is this. God has a purpose. God has a plan. You got to understand, like, God's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He always has been. He always will be. All the prophecies that come true, as you see proclaimed 1,000 years prior, 700 years prior, we're living in days of things that were prophesied 3,000 years ago, and God is making good on those promises, on those prophecies that he spoke to prophets then that they shared that was kind of masked, like they're going, what? I don't really understand this. Yes, I'll write this down. Yes. And then now we're going, oh my goodness, look at what is happening. We're living in this. God is a God of order. There is a process to it. Just like a shirt needs to be buttoned properly or it's distracting, it's out of order, it's confusing. The same is true with our life. Our life has to be ordered. It was ordered by God. You were knit together in your mother's womb. God has a perfect plan for you. God is not done with you. We don't know the days that we have, but what we do know is God has a plan for those days, for this life that we're living. Our life's a vapor. It's here for a little bit, and then it's gone. So here's what we have to do. We have to stop, and we have to say, Lord, what is it that you want for me? Here's what I know. That's a hard thing to do. It's also something that we say, but do we actually do it? Intentionality. What step am I going to take? Because here's the truth. We often want to take a step towards self, our own convenience, what seems right to us. We're going to be studying today about a man that God came in and completely changed his steps. We're going to be in Acts chapter 9 today. I'm going to let you turn there. You got about 5 minutes to do it because I ain't done talking, okay? But Acts 9 is where we're going to be. See, when it comes to order, God has a design. His word is clear. As a church, we look to Scripture and say, we want to follow His word. We want to follow His direction. What does He want for us? So we put together a mission statement 12 years ago. to love and lead one another to be devoted followers of Jesus. We have to be intentional. We have to go back to this. We have to say, are we still fulfilling what is scriptural? Loving first as Christ did, leading second, because we're to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus that makes disciples. In that, it's one another. We're locking arms with one another. If, depending on the translation of the Bible, there are 51, is what I've counted, 51 one another's in the scripture. So that's a lot of instruction on how to treat each other. In that, let's be devoted. Devoted to one another. Committed to one another. For what purpose? To follow Jesus. That's the purpose. To be followers of Jesus. Imitating him. Yes, imitate others as they imitate Christ. And Jesus is more than an example to follow. He was the very debt for our sin that was paid on the cross. Last week, 101 people testified, maybe more, said, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ for the first time right now. See, we look at that and we recognize this is the first step in following him. It's an intentional step. It just doesn't happen. There's not a current that goes towards, you know, the Jesus canal and you just kind of got caught up in it. No, it's something where there's a surrender in a heart to say, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. I have sinned, you are perfect, you paid a debt for me, you rose from death, conquering it, so I can have life, my sins can be forgiven, I can begin anew. That is an intentional moment that God grants us as he calls, and he would wish that none would perish, no, not one. In that, Matthew 6:33 is a verse that helps us in our priorities. It helps us in our intentionality. It's, but seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things, all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. It's first. It's almost like you want to say all these other things like this, 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 and he's like, but, seek first. I want to be worried, but I want to focus on this, but, sorry, I'm yelling. I apologize. My bad, kid. But seek first, focus first on him, and then everything else comes in order. It's intentionality in that. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to the kingdom? The kingdom is God's way, then we have our way. That's our kingdom versus God's kingdom, okay? Our step in intentionality towards our own way, or our step in intentionality towards God's way. And it's to be a disciple. What is a disciple? A follower of Jesus. So when we disciple, when we train up to be a follower of Jesus. See, that word discipleship kind of gets lost, and people are like, I don't understand it, or the word disciple, that's kind of 2,000 years ago. It's a biblical word, so it's worthy of redeeming. Here's what discipleship is. It is relationships plus intentionality towards others. It's relationships plus intentionality towards, or sorry, others. I said others, but Jesus. I got the one and others on my mind, okay? Towards Jesus. It's an intentional step. We're in this together. It's not curriculum, but it might be the curriculum comes alive because of the relationship that it's shared with. That's discipleship, and we should be growing in our discipleship. That word devoted that I mentioned earlier is going to be really important during this seven-week series because we're talking about all the different compartments of our life. And the reason it's so important, it comes from Scripture, Acts 2, to be devoted followers. Proskartario, which is in the Greek, it means to be committed, to be dedicated, to be loyal to give constant attention and persistence to. What should we be devoted to? The kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. We got to know our direction. We got to know the goal. Next, what is that goal? Jesus made it really simple. He put together a commission that is given. And I'm sharing some verses today that some of you are going to be like, oh my goodness, Keith, I have memorized these. I've known these verses for a long time. Are you applying them? Boom, Jesus juked. Okay, here we go. Matthew 28:19. Are we applying this? Now, I know this. I have this memorized. Are we applying this? Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things as he's commanded us, we have in Scripture, and I am with you always. Behold, I'll be with you always, He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. What are we to do? We're to make disciples. First step of discipleship, submitting and surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. First step. My prayer is that today would be the day of salvation. If God has been working on your heart, I pray that today is the day for you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. We're going to read about a man in Scripture that surrendered to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ called him out, set him apart, and I pray that today is that day. It's as simple as saying, I can't, but you can. I've sinned, and you're sinless. You paid a debt I could never pay. I believe. I admit I've fallen short. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead. And upon that, you'll be saved. You're my authority. You're my final authority. See, that's God's order. God gives us that as the first step in a relationship with Him. If you've never surrendered your life to Him, He hears your prayers. So when you're like, hey, Lord, would you just get me out of this speeding ticket? I don't know if He hears that one. But He hears your prayers, and He knit you in your mother's womb, and He recognizes and He's moving in your heart. But your understanding of who He is not to just hook you up or get you out of a situation. It's to submit your heart and to say, I can't, but He can. And I'm done running. And I'm done trying my own things, or I'm done trying religion, or I'm not just hoping for the best when I go from life to death. So I'm going to submit my life to Him. That's salvation. I pray today is that day for you. That's something that you don't need a certain time in a service. You don't have to have music playing. You don't have to pray with anyone else. But if God would so lay on your heart, our prayer team is down front after every service. We have staff at the Info Center. We'd love to share an opportunity to talk more about that or to come alongside you in that journey. A disciple that makes disciples. We're to be a disciple that makes disciples, to multiply disciples. This is spiritual growth. This is intentionality towards Jesus. And the person that we're going to study about today is a man by the name of Paul. But in where we're reading today, his name is Saul. Same person. Okay? Same person. His identity in Saul and then what the Lord called him to as Paul. I'm going to say it back and forth. I'm going to say the wrong name at certain times. And you'll be like, has he changed his name yet officially? And I'll just say, get over it. Welcome to Rock Harbor. I mess up all the time. So do you. That's why you're here. Here we go. The first thing about Paul, we can really relate to him, okay? He was a sinner. We can all relate to that. We have no guarantee that Paul ever interacted or met Jesus. We all have that in common. Some things we don't have in common, most of us, you weren't raised in Jerusalem. Secondly, you may not have been born in the same way as he was as a Jewish young boy that memorized the first five books of the Bible and all the details that go along with being raised and memorizing the Torah and everything that he did. Those things are different. You didn't probably, I don't think so, write the New Testament. He wrote almost half of it. So he was writing letters to pastors and churches, and now we look at it. This is part of the inspired word of God given, inspired through the Holy Spirit to him, granted to us, blessed with this. This is who Saul becomes in Paul. And his first step is the same with all of us, to receive someone. To receive someone, the one being Jesus. Notice, capital O, someone, hyphenated. Bad grammar, makes no sense, but makes all the sense in the world to someone that's random like myself, okay? So receiving someone, beginning a relationship with Jesus, step one. Saul's conversion. Here we go. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, which was Christianity, it wasn't called that then, they weren't called Christians yet, they were called followers of the way, followers of Jesus, men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He's getting approval from the highest authorities of all religion in that day and time. He was granted approval on two different occasions for him to go where he could stone, he could kill, he could arrest bring in chains people wherever he went on these crusades to gather the people that followed the way, to snuff out at all costs this message of Jesus, because it wasn't Judaism, because it wasn't religion. It was this relationship. It was this. This is the king. This is the Messiah. And they're like, no, the Messiah would have come out on a horse and would have ruled over Rome. That didn't happen, so we don't believe. And they're going, no, no, no. He came in as a humble servant. He was born of a virgin. All these prophecies, he did raise from the dead on the third day. He was even pierced in the side like prophecies have said before. And they're like, we don't believe it. We understand there might be some similarities, but we don't trust that he is the Messiah. So we're going to snuff it out. Paul's granted this. Verse 3, now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and I will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with Saul, they stood there speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. What an amazing encounter that he had with God. This is not normal. I mean, he's traveling to Damascus. Damascus is a flourishing city. He's coming from Jerusalem. It's 136 miles or 218 kilometers, for those of you who do, you know, the metric system, because you run. Congratulations. I run about 218 kilometers every 10 years. Not at the same time, throughout that time. And often on an elliptical. Okay, has nothing to do with the message. It's stupid. Me being stupid. Well, he's got Damascus on the mind. He's walking tall. And I love how, like, the Lord lets him get, like, almost to Damascus. Like, right there. It wasn't like in the first little bit. It was right there. Have you ever put a plan together and God lets you get to the very, like, 11th hour or right at the very end, and then all of a sudden you're just sensing there's something different? Have you ever put your own plan together and you're like, this is what we're going to do and this is what it's going to look like, and then the Lord says, hold on, I have something different for you. Ever happened with you in life? Ever happened in a relationship? Ever happened with anything that's going on, or you've already got the LLC and you're planning this and you're going to start this business, or you've already got this put together and this is the senior project, you think this is, and then the Lord says, I want you to clearly communicate to your classroom your love for me. And I know you were thinking this topic, but I want you to do this. God ever turned you around and what you were thinking as a parent and what you were going to do, and this is the plan, this is what the year's going to look like, and then he gives you something and all of a sudden it's the road to Damascus moment and you're like, wasn't really expecting this. It's kind of like he wants to remind us, would you trust me at this time? I have something good for you. I mean, Paul had a plan. I mean, Saul, he literally thought like he was doing the Lord's work by snuffing out this way, and now he's being called by, from heaven, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This voice of Jesus that's called out, I think often we think of yelling because we think bright light, we think him going to the ground, we think him getting bucked off a horse, you know, and then he goes to the ground. Was that pretty good? It felt good up here. It felt so good. Like literally, I was like, I have boots on? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to go. No. There we go. That's a little better. I'm gonna nail it by the 11:30. So. And you guys ought to try the 5 o'clock. It's my favorite service. Pray about it. And you ought to try serving at 5, too. Pray about it. I want to look in every section. Okay, let's go. But he gets our attention. He goes to the ground. I don't think it was the Lord yelling. I think it was a calm voice. Like almost like if it was just fear, like there was enough fear by what took place. When these kind of circumstances and situations, like to really fear the Lord, I'm going to talk about that some next week. When fear overcomes and then you hear the voice of the Lord. And God's speaking in a way, and maybe you're listening, so it feels as if you're yelling, but he brings his comfort and he brings his direction. And that's what's happening to this man who literally was killing Christians. He was just at the stoning of Stephen holding the coats one chapter earlier, which isn't like years earlier. We're talking, I mean, at least a week, because 136 miles, 218 kilometers, maybe a month, maybe 3-4 weeks. And now he's here, and the Lord has his attention. And he's also remembering the posture that Stephen had when he received those stones on his body and he looked up to heaven. And now Paul is in the same place and he's looking up and he's being spoken to. These correlations are happening. And Saul has radically went from the one that was doing the hunting to the one that was hunted. And God always gets his prey. Sorry, that was weird. Verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house. All of a sudden, there's this other, this believer that enters into where Paul was. We'll talk a little bit more about him next week. And laying his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Paul was spiritually blind. He was very awake, he was very aware, he was very educated, he was very approved of by the religious people to do what he was doing, but now he's granted sight. His attention has been got, but not just for any purpose, not just for a physical healing. No, it was for a spiritual awakening that was going to go on in him. Filled with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing like that. There's no job, there's no genetics, there's no amount of money. There's nothing in this life that compares to being filled with the Holy Spirit. That you could be in a trial and you could be above the trial because the Spirit is filling you. Everyone else can say this is crazy, it's never going to work. But when the Lord's doing a work, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to watch God do something that only He can do, and then watching it manifest through your life, and around you, because you submitted, you heard his voice and you responded. Verse 18, and immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight, and then he arose and was baptized. We'll get to that a little bit more next week, verse number 18. But this conversion that he has, this is extremely unnormal. This is not something that happens often. Very unique. Only God could do this. So you're looking at your life, and maybe you've surrendered your life to Jesus, and you're going, wow, it wasn't quite like that. My story isn't really the same. It feels kind of boring. Maybe, you know, like for me, I surrendered my life to Christ as a young kid. Grade school. So I see my story, I'm like, this not really a big deal. I don't feel like I have this big testimony. Like if I write my story out, I was in kids' ministry. I was literally in kids' ministry, and this guy named Ron was talking, Pastor Ron, and I felt the Holy Spirit, like I felt everything in the room, like the things that you would be excited about in a kids' ministry. I mean, my parents are in the other room, they're in auditorium, and I'm in here in I almost said our kids. It was called Sunday School. No cool name with a Z, Sunday Schools. But I was in there, and I'm hearing the gospel, and it was almost like everything was just quiet, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I raised my hand that I wanted to surrender my life to Christ, and I walked to the back, and I prayed with a lady named Carol Kaufman. Her husband was Ron, who shared the gospel, and she played piano, and I'll never forget, like, I walked back there, and we went to this little office and knelt down, and I remember the verses she shared. I remember that afternoon. We went to a friend's house while the Denver Nuggets were playing with Alex English. And I didn't even like the Nuggets, but they were on. And I remember telling my parents I gave my life to Jesus today. And then I remember that night I was brushing my teeth. And I told my sister, hey, I got saved today. I remember telling her, I was so excited. I remember telling my friends on the bus. I remember writing John 3:16 in the fogged up window in my hour-long bus ride. And then I write John 3:16 on it. I just knew the Lord captured my heart at a young age. Praise God for that. But it's not like Saul. I mean, my story reads this. There was a young lad named Keith Ryan Harrington. He was not making a trip to Damascus. Rather, he was on his way from first grade to second grade. Saul persecuted Christians, but Keith, he persecuted his younger sister. Keith was not raised by Jewish parents like Saul. He was raised by farmers. Not just any farmer, Baptist farmers. I'm going to stop there because it's just getting really weird. But it doesn't sound that interesting. But I also know that on June 5th, 1983, was the day that the Lord sought me, he bought me. It was the day that I recognized what he had done for me. I received someone. See, in salvation, it's us receiving someone. It's us submitting to someone. It's us getting in that order of intentionality of I first will make a declaration with my mouth from my heart that I can't, but he can. And it started at that young age. Now, when we look at Paul's story, it's like totally different. He goes from Saul to Paul. He gets a new name. I've always been Keith. I'm going to die Keith. It's the same. Either way, whether it's radical, whether it's simple, whether it's over a period of time, maybe you're like, it was in this fall. I don't even remember the name. I wish I would have wrote the day down. Like all those things. But God moves us to receive his Holy Spirit. And man, Saul got his life turned around. Saul went from religion to relationship. He moved from religion to relationship. Let me explain what I mean by that. See, with religion, it's all about doing something. So with religion, it's good deeds. It's good deeds. We're trying to do the good. That's supposed to say deeds. Good deeds. God, would you change it from news to deeds? Maybe next week. But it's good deeds, okay? What relationship is, it's good works of God. Good works of God. See, we try to do our own thing in religion. But it's not enough. But the good work of God is enough. Next, we have performance of man. Religion is man performing, but relationship is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Religion, man performance. Relationships, presence of the Holy Spirit. Then we have do in life versus done on the cross. Religion, do. Paul was doing all these things, but it was done for him on the cross. See, Paul had to lose his religion. Get that? He had to lose this in order to gain righteousness in Christ. He had to lose the religion in order to gain. He had to stop trying to make things work and be good enough to receive something that he would never be good enough for. The next thing we notice, Paul tries to join a church. He tries to join a body of believers. He tries to join a Bible study. For us, what that means is we need to join someone. Receive someone, but join someone. This is the church body. It says when he came to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. Do you understand? What if Saul showed up at your Bible study? You're like, dude, is this like a covert op where he's going to try to kill us? Like, frisk him. Does he have any rocks in his pocket? Like, it would be that kind of moment. Like, who's hiding around the corner? What's going on? I know what this guy used to do. He had that authority. He had that written decree that he could arrest anyone that was followers of the way. Now he's showing up at our Bible study. It says he attempted to join, but they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe he was a disciple. But then Barnabas, he had another person because he had joined another person that stood for him, took him, brought him to the apostles and declared to him how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Boldly preaching. So he went in and out amongst them in Jerusalem preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. You realize here he's going in and out, in and out. He's joined someone and he's joining these other bodies around one common thread. It can make random friends lifelong as if they were family members in the kingdom of God, in and out, travel, sharing the gospel, nothing else matters. Do you have anybody in your life like that that you just know? It's not just someone that you can pray with, but someone you've literally been in the trench with in life. You've walked through the hardest of times with them. You've watched them on their best days and their worst days, and they've saw that with Paul, then Saul. And now they're watching him go in and out and preach the gospel, and they're like, dude, you really believe this. You're submitted to this. You're surrendered to this Savior. And the last one, and we'll talk about this more in weeks to come. Get used to these verses because you're going to hear them a lot. He went in and out among them in Jerusalem and preached boldly. He served someone. This was his gift, because you could change that and you could say he went in and out among them in Jerusalem and he greeted, he served, he prepared food, he shared the gospel with kids, he spoke in large gatherings of adults, he prayed with people. His gift was preaching boldly, and the message that he preached was not an easy one. I mean, the truth of his message that he shared was, apart from Jesus, you have no hope, you have no salvation. This is not a message that was there easily received, because it was about religion, and now he's coming in saying, I've had all the religion, but I've submitted to the relationship. And he chose to serve someone. He chose to serve someone. Who did you serve this last week? When you look over the last week, who did you serve? Think about it. It's kind of a time of personal reflection. Did you serve anybody outside of your own family? Think about it. What did you do? Did you serve at work? Not what did you get paid for the transaction of work for money, but how did you serve? How did you go above and beyond? Did you serve any of your coworkers? Did you serve someone that's difficult for you? How did you serve in your community? It's always interesting because, you know, you get to that place in high school, or you're wanting to be on student council, or you're wanting to do National Honor Society, and then you have to go do community service. Go do community service, you know, and get this many hours. When actually, as followers of Jesus, we're to be community servants. Not something we do in order to qualify for an honor or something, or... No, we're servants. That's who we are. That's who Jesus was. So serving in a community, PTO, HOA. Not where there's a transaction made, where it makes you look a certain way. Because I lead in this way, or I like to be on the HOA because I want to help make those decisions, because I want to paint my house this color. But serving in some way where you're not getting anything out of it. You're not getting resources. It's just you and the Lord. Even a cup of cold water in my name for the least of these. In our life, we could be entertaining angels and not even realize it. Do you serve? Do you serve your church? Do you serve in church? Not did you serve? Not have you served? It's been a year. A year turns into two, turns into three, turns into 10. I will someday when this, and it's just been kind of hectic, and there's all these things going on, and you know, it's kind of the end of the year, and like we're like this, and then summer's coming, but then I'm going to serve in the fall. It's back to school. After Christmas. And this happens because we have this, we want to, but we don't. We want to, we really, really want to. See, my parents got to hear the gospel because they didn't have a kid named Keith next to them. And they focused and they listened, and my mom came to Christ the year before I came to Christ. But there was a couple, Ron and Carol, and a few other people and some high schoolers that like volunteered in the junior church that I wanted to be like. And I heard the gospel at a young age, and I responded to what my parents had been sharing, but in that moment, that's where it all came together, and that was like this moment. And I remember it just like as if it was a Paul moment, because it was the moment the Lord gave me. And you want to know what your next step is. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I would say this. Receive someone. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're not connected to a body, connect to someone. So if this is not your home church, this isn't where you're going to attend, that's okay. Find a place that preaches the gospel that you can connect with. And go there and fully engage, because this is the Lord's expression of his first creation, and that is that of a family. Then he created the church in a picture of that. We're to be the body, the different parts of the body that serve. Serve someone. Because it's kind of sad, we make decisions on whether or not we're going to attend. And, you know, like, think about this. There's some of you, you serve, and you're friends at work, and you talk to people, they're like, you do what? You go every week? Yeah, you serve? Yeah, I serve. It's just, I'm doing this. Okay, so real quick, you had kids, and now you're taking care of other people's kids, and they're not your grandkids. No. That's weird. It doesn't make sense to this world. You're missing out. Serve someone. We want to make it really simple. I want to talk through our next steps today. So right behind me and in your hands or right there on the app, if you're watching online, it's very simple for you to just click on the link and you can see all of this. We did a photo shoot with the Next Step card. Cutest thing I've ever seen. Multiple proofs to look through. This is amazing. If you surrender your life to Christ today or recently, maybe it was last week and it was hectic, maybe you haven't shared that with your church body, would you let us know? Now, what this means is we're going to maybe send you an email. We're not going to show up at your house and be like, Jesus party. Anybody in the house? Heard somebody in the house? Surrender to Jesus. We're not going to do that. It does sound kind of fun. Especially in the shuttle, dude. There's some ideas just happening. But that's not going to happen this week. But if you let us know, we can come alongside you. Maybe you want to have a conversation. Come forward and pray. Talk to a staff member. Maybe it's something about spiritual things. You're like, I just have some questions. We'd love to take that step with you. First step at Rock Harbor. Find out more what Rock Harbor's about. Make a dedication to learn more. If you're going to join somebody, you've got to know what you're connecting to. What does it mean to be a partner here? What does it mean to engage in community here? Maybe it's for next week. I want to be baptized. Paul rose and was baptized. I want to take that step. If you're baptized as a child, as an infant, your parents made that decision, or your cousin was doing it, it sounded fun. I would just say, make that decision. Make that commitment. Take your next step. Take an intentional step. I want to intentionally strengthen my marriage. Monday nights, reengage, 6:30. Childcare provided, incredible group of people. Whether your marriage is struggling, you're like, this is the last thing we're trying, or it's like, I want to improve my marriage. Every Monday, I'm interested in growing in my faith, regeneration, regen, our discipleship. I want to grow, I want to learn more in Scripture. I want to grow in my walk with God. I'd like to start serving, number 7. Look at all the different things that you can do to serve. Usher, our kids check in. Middle school, high school, shuttle driving, you name it. Lastly, I'm interested in joining a community group. I want to take that step. I want to join somebody, go to Gather and Go. I'm ready to engage in this. It's not something I used to do. It's something that I currently am doing, because the days, they're thin, man. We don't know. But it's an opportunity for not just what you'll get, but what you'll gain in giving. Paul had to lose his religion in order to gain the righteousness of Christ. And many of us, we have to lose our rhythms and what we think is the schedule in order to say, hey, we were 1 mile out of Damascus and the Lord brought me to my knees. And I'm ready to change and I want to take my next step. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We know you're faithful. We praise you that in this moment right now, we're able to come before you knowing you have us here in this moment to hear from your word, to be challenged, but not to go back to the same, to go back and be different. We believe you have next steps. We believe you're a God of order and process. Help us to take those steps and do it boldly. In your name we pray, amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.